good evening to the last, the third and last session of this big yishur koach. My wife always tells me and reminds me that the men can just leave in the evening, but the women have to sort it out, have to sort everything out, and therefore really you do get especially yishur koach for being able to drop everything and just come and come to the shir. Let me share with you a little bit of inspiration which has got through Hilchos Yichud from Eretz Yisrael. So it brings something back. When I arrived in Eretz Yisrael, the Dayanim said to me, what are you doing here in the winter? You normally come in the summer. So I said to Rav Karelitz, I said, this year is different to other years. There are 13 months in this year. So I said, we had a little discussion between the shul and I, who did that month belong to? So we decided, we divided in half. Half for the shul and half for me, so I'm here. But what was beautiful was, apart from being in Rav Karelitz's house every day for an hour and a quarter during lunchtime, as people queue up to ask questions right across Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, right across from everything, Kashrus, Shabbos, everything, anything you want to know about comes up. So apart from that, and apart from the Beis Din, every Thursday morning there's a session of where Geirim, those who want to become Geirim, and those ladies who want to become Geiros, so they will come along after having learnt the material and after a decision being made by the Beis Din that they're suitable to become Geirim, and they will have the Tevila to become Geirim. At that session, and also at the Beis Din previously, they'll be grilled and ask questions and make sure that they really want to become a Ger and what do they know, etc., etc. And all types of questions they'll be asked to make sure that they're able to keep the mitzvahs. So I'll go through and ask them questions, have you learned Hilchos Shabbos? They say yes. They'll say, well, how do you make a cup of tea on Shabbos? We'll ask them, what about separating Boreh on Shabbos? Go through questions, what about Muktzah? What about this? What do you know? Ask them questions back and forth. Then they'll go through and ask them questions on Kashrus. They'll ask them questions about Yom Tov. Why is Yom Tov different to Shabbos? What about Chol HaMoed, Hilchos Chol HaMoed? And you sit there and you say, wow, this is like taking your car for, you know, a yearly service. You think that, never mind, you think, I'd like to, you know, go on a crash course to have a revision. Never mind those who are becoming Geirim. Then they go through questions like, they go to Hilchos Lashon Hara. Have you ever heard of it? What does Lashon Hara mean? What can you say, what can't you say? Then, one of the things on the list is Hilchos Yichud. Have you ever heard of it? And they ask them these questions. Do you know? Who can you be with? Who can't you be with? And they want to know all these questions. Interestingly enough, two questions, two ladies, on two separate occasions, two ladies who were about to become, who were about to convert. So, two of them, one of them asked the following question. One lady says, I'm going to become Jewish. When I become Jewish, my parents will remain non-Jewish. It's going to come to Pesach. Can I invite them for Yom Tov? What do I do? There's a din that you can't invite non-Jews on Yom Tov. On Shabbos you can, interestingly enough, but on Yom Tov, the concern is that, of course, every time we have guests, we want to make them feel comfortable and give them everything they want, but you can't cook, especially for a non-Jew on Yom Tov. You can cook for a Jew, but not for a non-Jew. They want to know, what do I do? That was question number one. We won't get involved in that because that's a shir on its own. Question number, again, if it does apply to anyone, then by all means, come and ask. The next question was, what about Yichud with my father? I'm now Jewish. I'm going to become Jewish. There's a concept that somebody, Ger Shnis Gaya, somebody who becomes a Ger, Kekot and Shanolad, it's like they're reborn, they're a new entity, such that Midrabbonon, of course, they're not allowed to, but Min HaTorah, strictly speaking, Min HaTorah, they are a brother and a sister, non-Jewish brother and sister, who convert, they could marry each other, because, halachically, they're no longer brother and sister. Midrabbonon, of course, they can't, but the question is, since that situation is allowed, so therefore, now the question is, am I allowed to be on my own with my father, who is no longer my father? Because, halachically, he's no longer my father, because I've become a Geiros. The question was that there's no problem because, since he is a biological father, the reason why a father and daughter and a mother and a son are different, there's no problem with Yichud, is because the relationship is one of a father and a daughter and a son and a mother, and therefore it's different and therefore it remains. But Hilchos Yichud, interestingly enough, was very much at the focal point. I'll mention, very interestingly, since we started the shurim both with the men and with the ladies, these shurim, we've had quite a number of people phoning up and asking shailas. In fact, it's got around the kehillas. That's what we're learning here in North Hendon. And other people are phoning up and saying, I heard that you're just teaching, you're learning Hilchos Yichud. What about this in this situation? And it's very interesting to note that in nearly all cases, in fact, all the cases so far, there always has been a solution. In other words, yes, often the situation that was being asked would have been a problem had they not put certain things into position, into certain solutions into place. But basically, Hilchos Yichud is something that is normally surmountable, something that, using the various heterion that we've discussed, whether it's making sure that there's somebody else there, somebody else has got a key and they're going to come in, making sure that the door is open, etc., etc. Generally speaking, these cases, the problems that face us can be overcome as long as, in other words, we know it in advance and we prepare correctly so that they can be, so we don't have to worry about it. Somebody phoned me up and said to me, I don't know whether I really want to ask this question because I don't know what I'm going to do with the answer. You know, people ask this question. You know, so, but the answer is that, again, there was a potential problem with Yichud, but it was surmountable. It was surmountable, and it wasn't a problem. I'll mention a couple of situations that we haven't yet covered, and that's the following. Travelling, although we mentioned in principle this could be a problem, but what is a problem and what isn't is a problem, and how to deal with it. Travelling in a car. Imagine you want to go to a chasna in Manchester, and you don't fancy driving there back in the day, but there's somebody else who is going there back in the day, and it's all just one direction, and you desperately want to get back that night, and there's a man who's driving back by himself. So now the question is there a problem with Yichud? Probably you would want to sit at the back and you'd be polite, but you'll want to sit at the back. You're not his wife, so therefore you'll probably want, not that halachically you have to, but it's probably the right balance, and we'll discuss balances as we come a little later. But now the question is, it's the middle of the night. You're going to come back, chasna finishes, say, at 11 o'clock, you're going to get back at 2 o'clock in the morning, for example, or 10:30, you get back at 1:30 in the morning. Now the question is there a problem with Yichud? So, the thing is like this, on the motorway, there's traffic there all the time. Since there's traffic all the time in the motorway, on the motorway, the M6, the M1, there's no problem with Yichud all night, all day and all night. Because there's always cars passing, and therefore, wherever it is. Although Rav Moshe Feinstein is very strict on this matter, and he says there is a problem, because you could drive off onto a slip road. Chaznish is Mako, and that's in practice how we seem to Paschal, that we don't suspect a frum man and a frum woman of putting themselves in a situation which is forbidden. And therefore, since on the motorway it's okay, therefore you don't have to worry. So the motorway is okay. The trouble is, and when you set off, it might be okay, because it might be early enough in Manchester, for example, you're coming back to London, that there's no problem, people are still walking about the streets. The trouble is when you arrive, come off the M1 into Hendon, at 1:30 in the morning, there's nobody walking the streets. So the question is, how do you get from the M1 to your house? That's the problem. And therefore, in such a case, I would suggest, again, if there are two men in the car, and yourself, that's perfectly okay. Two full men is perfectly alright. Otherwise, you have got a yichud problem, not on the motorway, but as you come in. As you come in, you've got a problem because there's nobody around. There's nobody about.
So,
yeah, in theory, yes. In theory, you could park the car somewhere here on the Great North Way. I think the Great North Way is frequented all the time. So I think the Great North Way, you're okay. So, if you live in Ashley Court, you could get up on the Great North Way. I think you'd be all right. you'll be alright, yeah? Technically you'll be okay. You get off, say thank you very much. Please don't take me up to Ashley Court. Because once we turn off onto the side road of whatever this road is called over here this evening, once we turn off here, we've got a problem with Yichud. Stop off the Great North Way, I'll hop out, and then we're okay. And then we're okay. So that would be a problem. But if you want to get to any of the side streets, you're going to have a problem. And if you don't live in Ashley Court, you're not going to be very happy at 1:30 in the morning to start walking the streets of Hendon. Not such a good idea, right? Sorry? Correct. So if you left your car in a place there, then you could arrange it. Correct. Correct, correct.
What time is too late? What time
I think after 11 o'clock. After 11 o'clock, I think already the streets are pretty empty. Try it out. Have a look yourself. See how many people are walking around. Probably Golders Green Road, the top of Golders Green Road. It's probably all night, no? I don't know. I've never been there.
I guess it also depends on the night of the week.
Yes. If there are people around, they're around. But generally speaking, about 11 o'clock. I'll tell you, interesting, I think maybe, I can't remember whether the ladies asked about how long is the problem. How often does a car have to go past? So one of the other very interesting occurrences that happened while I was there in Eretz Yisrael was, I was in Rav Karelitz's house. Yes, his flat, his apartment. And just walking into that apartment is itself legendary when you see what a simple and basic abode he lives in. Absolutely basic, basic. So there, I'm sitting there listening to the questions being asked, and suddenly his nephew, the governor, comes in and says, "Oh, the Chosn and Kala have arrived." Chosn and Kala have arrived, what's going on? So the answer is that there was a lady who became a Gioris on the previous Thursday, and her husband was, or her husband-to-be, was from fellow. He was a Baal Tshuva. She had just become a Gioris. I don't know that particular case, but there are a huge number of cases. In other words, the percentage of the number of cases of Gioris over there, where you have non-Jewish ladies who are living on a regular living permanently with Jewish men who are not from, she becomes acquaintance with Yiddishkeit because of mixing with a background of his. He keeps nothing. She decides Yiddishkeit is the most wonderful thing she's ever encountered. She becomes terribly excited about this concept and desperately wants to become Jewish. She knows all the halachas back to front, and she makes him into a Baal Tshuva. And I'm not talking about one or two or three, I'm talking about probably 30% of the cases that I'm seeing every time I go. It's like this, one after the other. So she is the one who brings him back. So he's Jewish but not frum. She's not Jewish, but extremely frum, and knows all the halachas back to front. This is the case. And I think this was such a case. He is a Baal Tshuva, she's just become a Gioris, and the chuppah was in Rav Karelitz's dining room. So this happened there. This was there. So Rav Nissim asked two of us to be Edim, gave out the brachas to the other one, and there it was. There's Rav Karelitz, this 87-year-old man, dancing with the chosn in his dining room after the chuppah there, and one of the bedrooms are used as the cheder yichud. So I wanted to say, how long do we need for yichud? How long do we need? So Rav Karelitz says, look, some people want 5 minutes, but I think 3 minutes is more than enough. Now that has a ramification the other way, that how long is it? Nowhere will you find in Shulchan Aruch or any of the poskim to give a precise time how long that is. But certainly something like 3 minutes, we have to really be concerned, something like 3 minutes. So if there's a car coming by, cars regularly, I think the Great North Way all night, you'll have cars coming by. So I don't think there's a problem. But if you have a street where you can reasonably be sure that for 3 minutes, say it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, nothing's going to come, then I think the side streets are all like that. Then you've got a problem with Yichud. That gives you a bit of an idea of how long.
Bread Street counted as that.
Have a look.
Well, I have been awake now well because I'm nursing.
Correct. So what are you finding? There you are.
Bus constantly.
Bus is always coming past.
And you've got two floors.
Oh, of course. No, you've got night buses, haven't
you've got
you?
Got night buses.
So
and you have police cars and you have ambulances and you have.
So get a bit of an idea. So if you've got constant traffic, I think you're okay.
I can find the 3 minutes.
So there you are. Try it. Yeah. See, every 2 or 3 minutes.
4 o'clock this morning, I should come in.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean to say if you miss a 3 minute slot, there's a problem. Because if there's a likelihood that in any 3 minute slot there's going to be a car, that's enough. Even if in practice, on one such 3 minute interval, there wasn't. So therefore, in other words, it's likely that there's going to be traffic. You're not going to find anybody walking the streets at that time. You'll find cars going through. Yes? Right. Okay. So there you are. It is
not
a question.
A lot, but
it so if you do have on a regular basis, then yeah.
I have experienced the motorway at 4 in the morning.
Right.
And it was empty for ages and ages and ages.
What? It wasn't the car?
Yeah.
I've also been on the motorway before. I've always seen cars there. Lorries. There are lorries there constantly.
I don't know.
My experience, there are lorries all the time, constantly. The lorries are there all the time. They're always lorries, right through the night. Yeah? Yeah, okay. So it depends. It depends what. As far as I'm experienced, the M1 and the M6, right through the night, day and night, they're busy. Yes?
So you have to get out in the state, live off the Great North
Way. Right.
Would it be okay to and drive next to you just to make sure you're okay? I'm not being dramatic, you're walking along the pavement.
Right.
And the person who's given you a lift is driving lane, sort of next to you, but you are completely still, you know, like in a way protecting you.
Interesting.
You're not in a car, you are in the open.
I presume that's okay. Because I presume that's okay, otherwise you can never walk the streets.
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, because there might be somebody driving past.
Yeah.
So you can't. The answer to that is that if you're in the same car, then there's going to be a problem because there's an association between you. But if you're in different domains, I think that is okay. And you have nothing to basically you said goodbye, that's it.
Yeah.
You have nothing to do with each other. And then that's it.
You're sure that you're
just to make sure that I presume that's okay. That's okay. But I presume you're gonna want to sort something else out. Yeah. But if
it's
you land that
you like.
That's right. But in theory you could do it in practice. Yes? But in practice you'll only want to think about it in theory, yes? So there we are. So that's as far as car journeys. But it could be as well taking a bit, if you're a babysitter, for example. So again, if the husband offers to take you home, and it's late at night, it might be 11:30 at night, but then you might want to say as well, hope you don't mind, but I think we've got a problem with the ichud. You know, hope you don't mind, maybe your wife could take me home, etc. I think just sometimes people aren't aware, and nobody wants to do anything wrong, but people just don't know the halachas. And therefore sometimes you just have to know to say, look, you know, this is the only way we can work it. It's the only way we can work it. But we've mentioned certainly if someone needs to go to hospital in the middle of any danger or any risk of danger, you don't have to worry about yichud, just get there. Just get to the hospital. That's fine. Okay, that's as far as cars. Cars at day, cars during the night. By the way, even during the day, if you were to go out to a place where there's nobody around, the same would apply. If you don't expect, on a lonely country road, you don't expect, so for example, you think about it, when you go to the Beis HaKvaros, Silver Street is a good example. When everyone's coming for their Kamos Matzeva, so then there's no problem with Yichud, because you know people are behind you, people are in front of you, but if you go at any other time, that type of country lane, if you're going for an outing, there would be a problem. Who would this affect usually? Possibly a chosen and a colour. So, if your son or your daughter, yes, are engaged, or if you yourself are engaged, and you think, well, why not? Let's go out for the afternoon. So if you're going to go out in the country, you have to be a bit careful. If it's a country lane where once every 3 minutes you wouldn't have somebody, anybody coming, you've got a problem with yichud, even though it's broad daylight, the sun is shining, you don't have tinted windows in the car. In fact, you might even have a problem if you're walking as well. If you're walking in a country lane and you're walking through a path and it's a path where you don't have people on a regular basis, you're going to have problems with yichud. So therefore, chos and kala, that is something which is quite often, obviously a chos and kala want to get to know each other, but they're going to have problems out in the open, and needless to say, they're also going to have problems in their respective parents' houses if there's nobody there during the day. So it could be that the chassan come to visit his kala. So she's taken off the afternoon from work. He's come along to see her. And again, the father and the mother are out at work. They'll be around. You've got a problem. How do you deal with it? You have to leave the door open. Leave the door open. Give somebody a key and ask them to actually come in. So these are all situations that you can arrange a way, but you have to realize that there is a problem in order to see to it. Probably the best thing to do is to go for a walk. When there's nobody around inside, to go for a walk round town. That's probably the best thing to do. But again, just to be aware, with the chosen and color, there is a potential problem. Lifts, going in lifts, is not a problem. It's not going to be a problem ever, unless the lift goes, unless you're going to visit the Empire State Building. I don't know how often the lifts stop there. How long it takes, they're full. Therefore, you haven't got a problem with it. But in practice, lifts don't create a problem. At every floor, they could stop, and therefore, there's no problem at all. You might find, by the way, if you go to visit people in Yerushalayim or in Bnei Brak or place like this, you might find that you stop, you're in the lift, the door opens, and there's a man waiting, and he won't get into the lift. He'll wait there. What's he worried about? Not that there's a problem of Yichud, but he feels if it's a small lift, he might feel that it is a situation that he might feel uncomfortable with. Don't take offence, because although there's no halachically a problem with Yichud, but we'll see there is room for, if it's a large lift, go to the Royal Free, a large lift meant for 15, 20 people, I don't think you have to worry about that at all. But if it's a small lift where it's cramped, there isn't much space, so that's a situation that it's understandable that they might not feel so comfortable. So they'll wait until the lift comes again next time.
I have been pushed by some man
right.
When it was very full.
Right.
I mean, I got off and I just went back. But
right.
You know, sometimes you can get jostled.
Right. Right.
Nothing much happens except you go bang, you know what I mean? But
right.
That's right. Down, is it? I mean,
so
you have to try to avoid that.
Clearly. You don't want to. Yeah, certainly. Now, what about generally cleaners? Why do I mention it? It's really, cleaners is a problem for the men, not a problem for you. But again, if you've got a cleaner and your husband's working at home that day, so you'd like to know in advance what problems might come up, but if you want to go out shopping, so you've got a problem. You're okay at home because you're in a situation where if your husband's in town, you'll be alright. But your husband hasn't got the heter that his wife's in town. So if you're going to go out for a definite period of time, so then your husband's going to have a problem staying at home with a cleaner. So therefore, in such a case, you might want to arrange it that you don't want to go out at the time when he's there and the cleaner's there. So there's something to work out. If you're going to have the plumber coming, so again, it's a little easier. If your husband's not in town, so then you've got a problem. The only thing you can do is leave the door open. Another option is you could have a neighbour who you ask to actually come in, open the door, give them the key, make sure they come in. They actually do come in, not just in theory they could come in, but in practice you ask them, please come in once or twice. Why do I say once or twice? Because otherwise after they come in once, you know they're not coming in again. So therefore that situation, that will break the yichud, and that would solve the problem. Yes.
Yeah. Because if you have two women and one man, that's the problem.
Yes.
But if you have one woman and one man and the door open and, say, another female neighbour just with the key and coming in,
right.
That's not a problem.
Right.
Is it? Then that's two women and one man.
Correct. So therefore, it's like this. Very good. So you either have, you give it, you either have. Some, we need a gemach, I think, in the killer. You have the any men who are not working that they could come in. So if you've got the plumber, there could be a man with a key. But it's like, I think a woman with a key, if she will come in, leave the door open, and walk in,
right.
Then you'd be all right. So you can manage with a woman.
It's
very good. That's right. But then the question is, how can she come in? How can you give her the key and ask her to come in when she'll be putting herself in a situation of yichud? Very good question. Absolutely right. Down in my notes. Absolutely right. So therefore, what she has to do is she has to leave the door open. She will come in,
right.
And she will leave the door open. So now nobody's got a problem with yichud. You're not comfortable leaving the door open all morning while the plumber drains the system and sorts out whatever it has to be sorted out. But you don't mind if this lady comes in for a minute just to say, hello, how are you? Everything all right? Just keeping the halacha, helping you keep the halacha. Goodbye, see you again whenever, yes? That situation is okay. She leaves the door open as she comes in, and then she can go out again. So a lady can help the situation as well. Give it over to a neighbour, and then again, plumbers, I tell you, will come sometime between 8 and 6. Right? So you can't possibly have somebody on call. So you're going to have to say, look, I'll phone you up when the plumber comes, right? So tell you between 8 and 6, you can be sure they won't come that day. Right? That's all happens. You wait in, they don't come. But whatever it is, therefore you'll need, now with telephones, so you're able to phone up and say, would you mind, you've got the key, come in any time, and then, you know, whoever it is that you make this arrangement with, in the course of the shopping and the work and the runs and whatever it is that they're doing, so then they'll make sure to pop in every so often, a couple of once or twice, and just break the yichud by the fact they have the key, plus they actually come in. That breaks the yichud situation, in which case that's okay. That should be alright.
With a cleaner,
yes.
If the door is left open, is that a problem?
No. So that is another solution. Leaving the door open is, again, theoretically, it's wonderful. In practice, no one's going to want to leave the front door open on a regular basis. What you could do is, if you have a porch, let's say, and you've got a glass, then you could leave the front door open, the porch door closed. That would be reasonably good. Except, again, it needs to be, I don't know whether normal porches are open. I think normally during the day, porches are open. But again, if the porch looks as if it's closed, because no one can tell until you actually try the door, so then again, that might be not such a marvellous situation to be. But again, if the door is unlocked, the front door is open, I think, yes, you do have a solution there. You do have a solution. Another one is you can make an arrangement that you genuinely do not divulge. You say, for yichud reasons, you say to your husband, I'm not telling you when I'm coming back. I'm going out, make sure that you don't say, again, if you've got a fixed time that you have to go to work, and of course your husband knows that, so he knows you're not coming back. But if it is a shopping run, you know, he doesn't need to know whether you've gone to get a pint of milk, yes, or a litre of milk nowadays, you're going to get a litre of milk round the corner and you're coming back any second, or you've gone across to the neighbour to borrow some eggs, and you're coming back in even faster, or you've gone out for longer than that. So in that situation where you could come in at any time, you've got the key, you don't knock before you come in, you come in, and that's it, in which case there's no yichud problem, even if you're away. As long as your husband doesn't know when you're coming back. Of course, the same would apply, by the way, if there's a plumber, and you're leaving your daughter at home, and you've got to go out. Exactly the same situation. As long as it's not clear, you could be coming back at any moment, there's no problem with yichud. Okay, so that will solve. You see, you can work around most of these situations. For people who are living in flats, yes.
About if physically you're next to the road,
yes,
and you open the curtain and public can see inside your house.
That is another heter. That is fantastic.
My
again,
house is literally, I have people from the bus stop going like that.
Right.
If my
very good.
Are open.
Very good. Like, that's very good. But
I
again,
them and they still look at me back.
Yes.
So my
yes.
daughter's and my daughter's windows. Like, if we open all the curtains, I mean, does
right.
that help?
It does. It does, and it works. It does work, but I don't think it's a very good practical solution, because if you want to go to the kitchen, which is mm-hmm. the back room, and you want to go and pick something up, pick up a cup of coffee or whatever it is, you can't go out of that, you know, out of that field of vision, because then you're in a matzav yichud. So in theory, it's good. So, for example, your husband, if he's working at a desk, and you know he's okay not moving for half an hour, he knows you're not going to come back for half an hour, but he stays there and lifts up the net curtains and continues working, yes, you've solved the problem. But anything else where, especially a housewife who needs to go around the house for this and that and the other and isn't saying in one place, it isn't practical. But in theory, yes, it is. So if you need that, or you've got a child at home who's doing work for GCSEs and the cleaner's there, you've got a son at home and you've got a cleaner, so then yes, you could say to him, sit at your desk. It'd be a marvellous way of getting him to sit at the desk and not to budge an inch. But you could never manage otherwise. You might want to orchestrate such a situation that he cannot get up from his desk. He cannot move anywhere because there's a yichud problem, so he's absolutely nailed to the desk. He'll have to do some work whether he likes it or not. But otherwise, apart from that, it isn't very practical. So now, here's an interesting question. What happens if a lady has decided, look, she's living by herself, she wants to help bring in more income. So she divides her house up to two, into two. Upstairs, she's got a flat. Downstairs, that's where she lives. The upstairs becomes a... As you come into the house, you see this often, the front door is one. As you walk in, the hall divides into two doors, one downstairs, one upstairs. Now, what about this situation where the husband is at home upstairs, the wife is out at work, and the lady is downstairs at home? Is there a problem with yichud? One lady, one man, inside two separate flats, right, where they share a corridor. Yes? We'll come to that in a moment. I just caught the question over here. How is it different to a block of flats? Mm-hmm. Normally a block of flats, you've got many people coming out to the same corridor. And therefore, at any point in time, anyone could come out. But here you've got a situation where these are the only two. So yes, you could have a similar situation where, so block of flats of eight units, mm-hmm. for example, six of the families have gone away on holiday. It's the summer holidays. And there's a lady who's living by herself, there's a man who's living by himself, and there's an intercom, it's always locked. So you've got the situation, exactly the same situation, but that you'd have to have that situation where everyone else will be on holiday. So therefore I've taken a case where an English house, it happens often, but the house is divided up into two flats. As long as both doors are kept locked, she keeps her door locked, even though you trust each other, but for yichud purposes, the downstairs lady keeps her door locked, or in other words, her own front door, i.e. her personal front door to the downstairs locked, and upstairs they keep it locked, and only one of the two come out into the corridor at any one time, it's perfectly alright. That's the way to deal with it.
But can they then give each other a set of keys on a just-in-case basis?
I think no. No, because then it's not locked. Yes, it's not locked. If you have a key, the rule is, a locked door, where you have the key, it isn't locked. So therefore, you're going to be able to see it. But that's in principle. I think we mentioned as well an interesting situation where does the town, where does the city end? Your husband's at home, where does it end? You can go to Croydon. Croydon, I believe, is still in London, technically. I think it's about 2 hours travel. I believe so. But if not, take another example, South Wimbledon definitely is. It's about an hour and a half travel, but I think you can get further than that. So let's take extremes. So it takes 2 hours to get from Croydon back to Hendon. Mm-hmm. Yes, when there's no traffic, well, there's no British Rail strikes or whatever you have. And you have Watford is out of town, just up the M1, 15 minutes out of town. So what are you going to have a situation that your husband's out of town when he's in Watford, but he's not when he's in Croydon? This is a question I asked to Rav Kurelitz as a result of the shiurim that had been given in the shul. And his answer was, if the wife feels that her husband is away, is far away, then it doesn't work. If she feels that he's near, then it does work. So in other words, in Watford, although he's technically out of London, the fact that he could come back in a few minutes, literally 15 minutes down the road, yes, he's back in Hendon, therefore that would be all right. If he's a long way away and it could take several hours to come, and she feels really, you know, he normally works locally and today he's at a conference at the other end of London, then, again, that might work, so to speak, against us, and that might be more of a problem of Baal HaBo'ir. As far as going to see a doctor is concerned, just to summarise, it's like this. You go to see a doctor. If your husband is in town, you're okay. If your husband is out of town, or a single girl goes to a doctor, therefore you haven't got the situation, leave the door a bit open. Ask the doctor to leave the door a bit open. And that should suffice. That should be good enough.
If your husband is in town,
right,
you can go to the doctor and have to
So technically speaking, you can.
Right.
Because that's the way we paskan. We paskan that as long as your husband is in town, it's alright. However, there is a fantastic machlokes we've shown him about it, and therefore in the first place, it is preferable. I always like to say, what is the strict halacha? Strictly speaking, if need be, you could rely upon it. So if you have, for some reason, they're very strict about having the door closed, for whatever reason they have it, they feel, then, and you know, and if you kick up a fuss, you're going to get this doctor, you know, this doctor's backup, or the surgery's backup, to the extent that you feel that it might affect you negatively as far as the medical care is concerned, you want to know, strictly speaking, how far do I have to go. But where possible, where there is in that situation, and that you can say politely, I hope you don't mind, that but we have a religious requirement to leave the door a little bit open, you know, I hope you don't mind, right, then generally speaking, no doctor is going to make a fuss about it. And if he does make a fuss, you might be a little concerned why he's so particular about having the door closed. So therefore, I think that should be all right to have the door a little bit open. It doesn't have to be wide open. The door a little bit open, I think that should be all right. And that's really the best way of dealing with it. Although an unlocked door, as some say, that's considered open, nonetheless, opened a little bit, particularly in a doctor's surgery, where the rule is that you cannot come in. Nobody is, I mean, absolutely a no-no to walk in to a consulting room unless you've been invited to come in. Yeah.
They
often
have
Dr. Adler, there are people waiting to call. Is that this? Dr.
Adler,
I sat there.
No, sir, I mean, there'd be no privacy if you left the door open.
What do you mean, a tiny bit open?
Yeah.
But it's like this. In practice, what I've seen Dr. Adler doing, I've sat there taking one of the children and I've watched what goes on.
Yeah.
He leaves the door a little bit open. So does Dr. Rosenberg. So what do? They have a curtain. So they close the curtain for the patient's privacy, but the door is a little bit open. Actually, in Dr. Adler's surgery, he told me himself that he has a rule with his staff, they should just walk in at any time. So they walk in. They know to walk in at any time, and therefore that's therefore it's better than somebody else with a key. So he's told them to walk in at any time. So in practice, with Dr. Adler, you're not going to have a problem with Yichud. He's taking care of that.
But
you're
knows
fine.
About it, but
he knows all about it.
If you go to a non-Jewish doctor,
if you go to a non-Jewish doctor,
curtain.
I think there's always a curtain. Everywhere I've been, there's always
no,
a curtain.
No, we're not talking about an examination. We're
right.
We're talking about if you just you go there, you need a prescription, or you just need.
That's right. But if you leave the door a tiny bit open, so what?
People still come in. You have the secretary coming in, the nurse coming in.
They can't.
There's constantly people looking and walking
in the corridor.
They do.
Right.
They come in. They
often it's a very busy person
standing in the corridor.
Right.
Right,
and you feel you won't say. If you feel that somebody else will be able to hear, if you feel they'll be able to hear and there'll be a problem. So again, if you have a situation where you have your husband in town, so you have that upon to rely, and you genuinely feel uncomfortable otherwise, then by all means. Otherwise, then I think you do have a problem with closing the door. I think you do have a problem otherwise with closing the door, because then you haven't really got anything left. Nobody normally comes in to a doctor's surgery, to a doctor's consulting room. They don't know what exactly is going on inside, and therefore they won't come in.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I think you do have more of a problem in such a case. But I presume if you speak, if you don't shout, then I presume you'll have your privacy. You'll have your privacy, and you should be all right. Sorry?
And a woman doctor?
A woman doctor is fine. It's not a problem at all, except if it's a man. So, in other words, if it's a patient, if it's a man patient, yeah, so a male patient going to see a nurse, for example, will have exactly the same problem in reverse. Exactly the same problem in reverse. So, therefore that's okay.
If it's the last appointment of the day and the secretary's gone and the front door is
really
closed,
that's a problem. That is a problem. That's a big problem.
You take a child with
you. Yes, so you take a child with you. You can take a child with you. Fine. Yes, above six or seven, depending on how sharp the child is. If the child, different child. Sorry.
I said that will make it an easier appointment. But then that's two women and one man.
No, but a child is not a problem. Whether it's a girl or whether it's a boy, it makes no difference. But a child is not a problem because a child, there's no risk to the child will spill the beans and not get involved, and therefore a child is perfectly alright. By the way, if it's a place, an office. We talked about secretaries and bosses. If it's a place where there's CCTV all over the place, CCTV will help. But it's rare for CCTV to cover every single part of it. So therefore, that situation, if it is a situation where you're expected to be alone with the boss on a regular basis, late at night to finish things off, then you're going to have to consider whether this is a job for you. That is a situation where you have a real problem, and you're going to have to see if there's some way you can overcome it. That's yeah.
So
yeah.
You take a child and speak, but it has to be a boy.
No, it could even be a girl, because a girl, again, a child isn't going to get involved in. Is not going to get involved in any immorality, and the child will therefore spill the beans, and therefore child is fine, whether a boy or a girl. Seven, certainly, 6 to 7 will just depend on how sharp different children are, sort of different level of sharp.
It has to be your child.
No, any child. Any child. You can have a child gemach for the
born
to
go to.
She
went for a walk in the country, you had a child with you. That
yes, that would be okay. That would be okay. Sorry? Until what age? So a girl would be perfectly okay, certainly until the age of 9. Definitely okay until the age of 9. The Mephoshim say after 9, possibly there's a bit of a machlokes where you go from 9 onwards. Some are more makel until bas mitzvah, some are not bas makel, but certainly until the age of 9 is okay. Until the age of 9. Sorry? Something like. So 6 or 9 is okay. But again, if you're out in the countryside and nobody there, you'll need 2. Because we mentioned, you need 2 at night, you need 2 in a place where there's nobody around, but you'll only need 1 if it's in town or a place which is otherwise populated. You'd be right. No, there is no up age. Because the boy's okay anyway. That would be alright. That would be okay. That would be alright. You see, in principle, these halachas are complicated. The purpose of these shiurim is just that yichud appears on the radar. So you have a situation, you know to ask. You'll often have to ask. You can't memorize every single situation and know what the din is, and some of them are quite complicated. So therefore, the main thing is you know to ask. You know what the situations are that would require a shaila. You know roughly what the solutions might be. So you'll begin to think straight away, well, what could I offer the Rav in a way of a solution, practically, what's available to me, and then you'll be able to ask, and that should be fine. That should be all right. Au pairs, if I can just mention, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but what about au pairs? The question is the following. There is a din in Shulchan Aruch, and I've got it here. Let me quote a little bit to you. There's an interesting din, because there's one siman in Shulchan Aruch that talks about Hilchas Yichud, and then suddenly towards the end it's got a whole list of different situations that are clearly not Yichud, strictly speaking, Yichud situations. So, for example, I'll just read out one or two. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Ein memanim, you mustn't appoint Afilu Odom Nemon, even somebody who is trustworthy, Vakosha, somebody who is perfectly frum, Liyos Shomer, to be the guard, Vachotzer, in a courtyard, Sheyesh Boynoshim, where women use those quarters. So whatever you might think it might be, you might have a security guard where you'd have women who are, whatever it is, meeting, sorry? Possibly even in a sense.
Where women just will congregate by themselves.
Right. So you couldn't. We'll speak about schools. We'll come to it.
The girls and
sons
leave their school.
Here we are. Afal pishu omid bachutz. Even though this man is outside, why? She'ein apotropos laroyos. There's no guarantee. You've no idea. There's no hard and fast guarantee that because he's regularly there, there won't be any problem of. Nobody's going to come to land up in trouble. So the Aruch HaShulchan, who lived about the same time as the Chofetz Chaim, he says, Va'afilu Chosid Shebachasidim. Yes, not talking about whether he's a Chosid or he's a Litvak. He means, even the most pious of all people, he says, why is that? He says, because even though he's standing outside, and even though there's no problem of Yichud, because it's one man with many women, nonetheless, he says, because he's there on a regular basis, on a permanent, day in, day out, and he'll get to know the women, good morning, be polite, good morning, how are you, everything all right, you know, etc., etc., so he gets to know, that's a situation which is undesirable, although, strictly speaking, there's no problem of Yichud. So, again, other cases, again, could you have a security guard, we find this all the time, yes, you can. But what the Shulchan Aruch is trying to tell us is that when you have situations that a particular man is regularly, on a regular basis, for hours on end, associated with the women there, even if he is the most pious of people, so he could be the Godel Hador, he could be the greatest of people that we know, nonetheless, The very fact that there's an ongoing association is something that the Shulchan Aruch says, don't do it. Because technically it's not Yichud, but in practice, you never know where things will end up. Next case is, Lo Yemane Odom Apotropos. A person mustn't appoint somebody to be in charge of his house, so appoint another man who is in charge, Al Beisoi, Shlo Yanhik Ishto L'Dvar Veiro. Because again, it's asking for trouble. Where does this din in Shulchan Aruch come from? Yes. From Yosef. The Gemara says, if Potiphar hadn't appointed Yosef, Yosef wouldn't have landed up in the trouble that he landed up in. So Yosef HaTzadik, of course, withstood the trial, but it was wrong of course, we couldn't expect more from Potiphar. The Gemara's not saying that, but the Gemara says, look at that situation. Look at what Potiphar did to his wife. He put his wife in a situation where she was unable to withstand the trial that was before her. And therefore, don't have an ongoing situation where you have somebody who is constantly in the house, although, technically speaking, there's no problem with Yichud. The Rishonim, by the way, on Chumash, say that Yosef HaTzadik was terribly careful to keep Hilchos Yichud. Very interesting. The Rashbam says that, and the Sfarnu, both the Rishonim on the Chumash, and the Kras Kedoshim Chumash, have a look there, they say that Yosef HaTzadik was careful not to get involved in the problem of Yichud. So how did it happen that day? So the Rashbam says, the Sfarnu says he didn't know that she was in the house. He thought that everyone had gone off that day, because it was a day of Avodah Zorah, that everyone had gone off to the church, or the equivalent of what was then. And she had, unbeknown to Yosef, faked an illness and said that she wasn't well and that she stayed back, unknown to Yosef. The Rashbam says Yosef knew about it, but Potiphar told him, you must stay at home, I want you to get on with your work. And of course, in those days, you know, you couldn't, if you disobeyed your boss, and your boss happened to be the chief executioner, right, it was a pikuach nefesh situation. And Yichud, as we've learned, because Yichud doesn't obligate a person to put their life at risk. And therefore, explicitly say, Yosef was careful with Hilchos Yichud, nonetheless the Gemara is putting a warning point to husbands not to have other men around the house on a regular basis, because it puts their wife at a situation, it puts them in a situation of nisayon. So therefore it's like this. On the other hand, if you look clearly in the Gemara, it was the norm to have maidservants at home. So you can't say that an au pair, you can't say it's forbidden to have an au pair, you can't say that. Halachically you can't say. What you can say, however, is you've got to evaluate the pluses and the minuses of the situation. If the lady of the house cannot cope because the husband's away for all hours, nowadays working hours are horrendous. He's out at 7 o'clock in the morning, he comes back at 10 o'clock at night, she's got no help all day, and she just feels she can't cope. So an au pair could well be a solution. I'm not saying, and really not saying, that halachically there's any problem with it. But as a result, you have to put various safety measures into place. So certain things have to be into place. They have to be aware. Husband and wife will have to be aware. We have a situation which possibly is not ideal. To have another lady around the house is not something which is ideal. And therefore, we're going to have to arrange, put certain things into place, whatever that might be. But once you're aware of it, and therefore you make sure there's a certain distance kept between the husband and the au pair in such a way that he really has very little to do with her except for being courteous, etc., etc. And that way there's no risk of anything going wrong. The same is true in places of work, and that's why I mention it, because you see this clearly here. There's even a din that again doesn't apply nowadays, although it says so in Shulchan Aruch. Why it doesn't apply, everyone talks about all the commentaries, but there's a din in the Mishnah. Mishein lo isha, somebody who's unmarried, lo yelamed tinokas, he mustn't be a school teacher, a primary school teacher. Why? Mipnei she imos habonim boys, because the mothers come to do the rota, to pick up the children. They says And the nimtzal miskari banoshim were worried that he's going to, in common English you'd say, he's going to flirt. He doesn't have a wife, so he'll take a fancy to one of the mothers and he'll start talking to them. So the Mishnah says, and similarly, v'chein isha, similarly a woman, even if she's married, a lady, lo tlamid katanim, she shouldn't be a primary school teacher, mipnei avuseim, because sometimes the fathers will come, shein boim biglal b'neim, they come to pick up their children, v'nintzu misyachtim imo, and maybe they might be in the building. Again, once upon a time, it doesn't apply nowadays because a school is a public place where there are many people, and therefore in practice this din doesn't apply in schools. So therefore, men can teach, if they're not married, they can teach primary school. Women, even if they are married, they can teach in primary school. But the message is clear, that if you see, that use a bit of sense, and if you see that you're landing in a situation where there is the possibility of building a relationship with somebody else, or them building a relationship with you, then you want to try and avoid that situation. And therefore, if in a work situation you're constantly, for hours on end, you are the only secretary of your boss, and this is going on and on a regular basis, you may want to consider whether you really want to get involved in this, where you'll have to judge the situation for yourself to see whether this isn't a situation that could cause all types of problems. So again, halachically, you can't point a finger and say that there's a problem. If you keep the dinim with yichud, that's fine, but in addition, you've also got to try and make sure that there is a certain distance, there is a certain barrier, and nowadays, that really doesn't exist in the outside world. Everybody is all pally-pally, first name terms. I spoke to one of the senior Dayanim in Bnei Brak about this, and he said to me, you know, I picked up the phone one day last week, and I had this cheeky Israeli woman on the other side of the end of the phone, and she said, I picked up the phone, and suddenly this voice, this woman said on the other side of the phone, Yisrael, mashloncha! How are you? She says, who am I speaking to? Some saleswoman on the other end of the line. So therefore, there is this everything. What do you mean? Right? She didn't know who she was speaking to. She said she was speaking to a man with a long white beard and a long coat. One of the senior dayanim in Bnei Brak. That she didn't realize. Who sits there adjudicating million-dollar building disputes on a daily basis? That's the world. The world has gone mad, absolutely crazy, and therefore somehow that has become. For I feel very much that has become part and parcel of being Jewish. That the same way as we can't come in on Shabbos, we can't come in on Yom Tov, we can't join in the non-kosher meals, there has to be some sort of level where we have to keep that type of a barrier. How you do it, how you work it out, and each person has to use their own common sense. But this is very much the flavour of it. I'll just finish off with the Rambam, right at the end of Kedusha, which is one of the halakim of the Rambam, and he says right at the end, he says the following. He says, Ein chodova b'chol ha-Torah kula. There's nothing, and we'll finish with this, there's nothing in the whole of the Torah, shu kosher, that is difficult to keep, l'roiv ha'om, to the majority of people, elo lifush min ha-royis. Says the Rambam, out of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, the most difficult one is keeping oneself to oneself and not getting involved in forbidden relationships. He says, Omru Chachomim. Chachomim says, so the Rambam says, B'shor shenitzavu Yisrael al ha'arayus, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us about forbidden relationships, who we're not allowed to get married to, Bochu, Klal Yisrael cried. He says, V'kiblu mitzvah zu v'tarumas, they received this mitzvah begrudgingly, I suppose you translate it in English. Ubadachio, and they cried Shinema, Boiche Limishbachosov. They were crying, literally it means within their families, yes? They were crying, what does that mean? It says the Gemara, Al Iske Mishbachos, because they weren't happy to have to keep to the relationships that are permitted and allowed by the Torah. V'omru Chachomim, the Chazal say that Gezel va'aroyas, two things, both stealing, cutting the corners, not being quite so honest, va'arois, not being quite so moral, nafsho shel adam is avelohem u'mechamdosom, a person has a natural, takes a natural liking to these two averus. The ein atomotzi kahol, you don't find a congregation, v'chol zman v'zman, you don't find a whole unit, a whole settlement of people, she'ein bohem prutzim v'arois, you don't have pockets of problems where those who are people who are not behaving themselves, he says, and Omru Chachomim, Chazal say, Roiv Begezel, the majority of people are not careful with being honest, particularly honest, Umiut Barois, and the minority of people fall by the wayside with forbidden relationships, and he ends off, Vakol Bavak Loshon Hara, everyone's got a problem with. with avak lashon hara, not real lashon hara, of course, but just avak lashon hara, something that is, he mentions over there. Lefikoch, says the Rambam, therefore, royu lo la'odom, it is correct for a person, lachuf yitzroi, to force his yitzah hara b'dobazeh, ulaharagin atzmei, and to get himself used with kedusha yaseira, to behave in a particularly holy way, ubamachshava tahora, with a pure mind, ubadas nachino, with the right outlook, kedeli notzel mehem, to keep away the yizoy min hayichud, careful with yichud shu hagoyim hagodol, that is the big cause of trouble. And that's, he goes on, he continues. And there's more, and he goes on, but this is the general theme. The Rambam is warning us. So here we have, this is an issue, always has been an issue, always will be an issue, and the more we keep away from it, the more careful we are at the same time to be decent, not to in any way offend other people, doing the two together, that the Rambam wrote it in his Chelek of Kedusha. The very fact that we abstain and we're careful to keep these halachas in the best possible way, that brings Kedusha upon us, it brings Kedusha into our home, and wherever there is a risk of going wrong, if we abstain, that people think normally if I do a big mitzvah, I'm going to get, I'll feel a very pure person. Not just that, but if you abstain, keep away from any possibility of getting anywhere near any avera, that in itself is a big mitzvah, and that itself brings kedusha upon a person. So I must say, I haven't told this to the men, but the ladies, I really say that I really feel very much that these are halachas that the women have really, that you have really accepted and wanted to hear very much about it, and have been very, very positive towards these shiurim. I think that's a wonderful thing. That's really a wonderful thing, and it sets a very good example. So, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us that protection that we should always be able to do the right thing, and in that chus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us only bracha and kedusha and only simchas and happy homes as a result of that. Very good. All right. Very good.
Thank you very much.
That's a pleasure. There you go. Any last questions? Anything else? Anyway, you're always welcome to ask. As situations come in, by all means, give me a call to them. A big shukr to ask.